You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Well, I got a question for you, for our audience. If somebody wants to get a hold of you and contact you, you know, your ministry's Co-Mission Ministry. Why is it called Co-Mission?
Well, we actually
spelled differently.
Yeah, we dropped the M because an evangelist has to be working cooperatively with the local church, like you said. So we want to co-mission with the local church. As an evangelist, we don't go to any city or state that there's not already a local church that we can connect with, because an evangelist is not really like a missionary in a sense that they pioneer. They work with the existing church, kind of like what Jesus said to Peter, strengthen what remains. And our goal is to strengthen what remains within the local church as an evangelist. And we want to co-mission with that local church. And our goal would be to come alongside a local church. And if they don't have volunteers right now actively going to the prison ministry or actively going to the rescue mission or actively going to share the gospel where God could open the door for them to share it, as an evangelist, we want to breathe that call and that mandate and raise them up and give a hand up any way we can. Right. So by the time we leave that church, that pastor has got all the people in place to see an evangelistic mission take place in the local church. We want to strengthen the pastor. We want to uphold the pastor. We want to come alongside the pastor. We know that the pastor can't do everything, and that's what we expect him to do is everything. But if we can come alongside him and see those evangelists within the church raised up, and our goal is to have 100% of the church doing the work of an evangelist, because that really, at the end of the day, is our primary calling while we're here. Discipleship is great, but if we're not discipling with intentional evangelism attached, then we're just educating them. And the spiritual obesity in our local church is so great that if it was turned to matter, we'd fall down into the pit of hell. We've got to get the spiritual obesity to a point where we get them on the treadmill and we start working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I believe the more the church work out, the stronger our faith will get. And how do we work out? We don't just work out reading the Bible. We don't just work out praying. The greatest way to work out is evangelizing, sharing our faith. When iron sharpens iron, it deepens our faith. It strengthens our, what we would think would sway us or deviate us by having people actually attack or challenge us. Challenge makes our faith stronger. Challenge makes our faith deeper. So evangelistic component is so important. And we know with the Great Commission, and as an evangelist, we want to raise up the indigenous. We don't want to really hail the evangelists coming in as
talk about indigenous, what that means, our audience.
The local local church member.
So the people who's right there in that community.
Right there in that community. We could easily just do kind of like the Billy Graham approach and have everyone come in and look to the evangelist. But really, that is not a biblical evangelist. That's a guest speaker or a great preacher or something like that. But if you want to be functioning under the job description of the fivefold ministry, an evangelist should be breeding evangelists, should be raising evangelists, should be equipping evangelists.
Because the fivefold ministry talks about to train to God's people up to do the work.
To do the work. So if we can look behind us and see, wow, we don't need to go back to Baltimore. There's 10 of us doing it there already. Let's go on to the next city and breathe into the church an evangelistic passion. They're doing it, and then we move on to the next city and we do it again. But we have to always co-mission with the local church. And we're very accessible on Facebook, on Instagram, on our website, through email.
We'll put that on the screen. You probably said right now on your screen how to be able to contact you.
And we're always looking for new contacts, new churches to work with. We're a new ministry. We're very young. We're not as connected as we would like to be. So we're always looking for that.
I like the fact that you have put your focus on America.
It is a U.S.
America because of, you know, we need ministry in America. And so many people are in the mission field coming back and gathering finance for their ministry, but they're not ministering to America. And America's, you know, one generation away from being totally lost, if not less than that.
We in Ireland, growing up, we had a lot of teams that came from the United States to Ireland to do missions work. And I got to work personally with those teams. Some of those teams even came out of Gulf Breeze here in
Florida.
Yeah,
name some of their names.
Coastline Calvary Chapel came over there in Gulf Breeze. We had a lot of Assembly of God churches all across the country that came to Ireland. But when you actually
David Apple was there. Okay.
David Apple with Apple Market.
Apple Market,
and those guys. They all came over. John Spencer was there. But not only from that, that was just I think they only came once or twice, but the Assembly of God would bring 10 to 15 teams a year that would come over to Ireland. But when you actually sit down with these teams and you hear that they're not doing anything in their local community, and they were coming to Ireland, it really cheapened their mission work to Ireland. It was like, we're kind of like that exotic animal that you want to come and check out and do your faith here, and it's safe to do it. And then you go back and you live no different like how we live. We're just busy with life. And
or you're just looking for a place that you want to go to Ireland and see Ireland. You don't care about the soul of Ireland.
You really do need to ask that question on a lot of missions. And you know, some of the missionaries that end up overseas sometimes are just the guys that couldn't make it in the American church.
Yeah.
And they had no real position here, so they said, well, the next best thing is missions. Let's just go do missions.
Sorry about
that. And I just don't think you should go. You should never go and do anything spiritually if God hasn't told you to do it. Like, if you do anything without God telling you to do it, because it seems to be, well, that's a good idea. Well, there seems to be a way to a man that's good, but in the end, it's destruction.
True.
And we have a calling of God is always a burden that comes from God. It's not generated out of a need. If we're driven by needs, we're going to be spinning our wheels for a long time.
Right.
But when we're driven by a call of God, it doesn't matter the results. Yeah. We're anchoring to the Lord and what He's called us to do.
And I think you have to do it. It's like shut up in your bones.
It's shut up in your bones.
It's something you know, and you need to be ready, related, and connected. But you know, having someone in your life, but you just got to do it. It's not a mystery to you. You need maybe some wisdom on how to do it.
Yeah, you need wisdom. But if missions is not a lifestyle, it's just something you do once a year or when you go overseas to do your missions work, but you have no burden for the lost at Walmart, or you can walk in and out of the gas station and have no real conviction of the Holy Spirit. You're not being grieved by the state of our own society here. You got to ask yourself, what spirit are you working in? And these are real challenging questions, but you have to examine where you're at in the faith right now. Has Christianity just become an occupation or a job, or does He have your heart? Because if He has your heart, then you'll be open to His leading. There's times when I've come off of preaching in a church or preaching in an evangelistic outreach, and I'm spent. I am spent by the time I'm done. Right. There's a lot of prayer and work, and when I preach, I give every bit that I've got to it. I want to do the best I can unto the Lord. And so you're spent, and then here you are, you're putting gas in your car, and the Holy Spirit prompts you and convicts you for the young man that's putting gas in the pickup truck across the way, and you're troubled by it. And I can tell you honestly, there are multiple times that I've resisted the conviction of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with people outside of the microphone, outside of the pulpit, and I've repented for that. But the times that I have been pliable and willing to the Holy Spirit to follow through on it, I've seen tremendous results. More, some of the results are better than that of preaching in a pulpit to crowds of people. So I just really want to encourage you that if there's anything you hear that's good for me, it's that it's really about a personal relationship with Jesus and following His leading. It may not necessarily look like what everyone else would want it to look like, or maybe even what you want it to look like, but as long as you're doing what He's called you to do, you're the most successful preacher. I believe the most successful evangelist is the man that just obeys the Lord. It's not about the fruit. It's not about the size. It's not about the crowds. If we get caught up with that, then corporate America has infiltrated our measures of success.
Right.
And corporate America cannot measure success. Success in the sight of God is obedience. That's why Samuel said to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right.
To obey God, do what God's called you to do, whether there's crowds or whether it's just one person. But as long as you're doing what God's called you to do, that is worth its weight in heaven.
That reminds me of Steve Hill right in the middle of the Brownsville Revival. Here he's ministering every single night, all day long. And we take pictures. Back then he would take pictures and get them developed back then. And so he'd take the pictures from Revival, he'd drop them off at the photo place, he'd go by and pick them back up, and he'd go back to service. You know, he's sending them out or whatever. And then all of a sudden, one day, after taking these pictures again and again and again, he asked where the lady was that he was giving the pictures to. And said, oh, she passed. She had cancer. And he was just shattered.
Yeah.
Because he didn't. It just didn't cross his mind to minister to the woman who was developing the pictures of the move of God. Now he's reaching, you know, obviously, you know, thousands are being reached around. We're dovetailing, we're everything, we're all over the place. But the fact that the everyday encounters we have with people, that we just miss it. And I think about it, it's been the most amazing thing to watch the church have this awesome seemingly encounter inside of a building. Jesus, thank you, you know. All these, whoa, woo, you're doing different things. Then they walk out of the building. And it reminds me of when Jesus said there was these two, this man, you know, that was there beating his chest. And he says, I'm not even worthy. And then the religious man says, well, thank God I'm not like him. And it says, Jesus said, the one down here that's acknowledging who he is. But I see a lot of the mindset is like, it's almost like it's, you know, Steve Kolaszewski's with me in ministry says, what the scripture says, that the world is blaspheming the name of God because of you. You know, it's something of that nature. Like scripture is, they talk bad about God because of the people of God, what we're, how we're acting and what we're doing.
You're right.
And it's, yeah, it's like...
I've been asking the Holy Spirit lately, don't take your grief from me. Like, grieve me for what grieves you.
Yeah.
Like, it is grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve me over souls. You know, grieve me in my place of prayer. Holy Spirit, grieve me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me follow what you're calling me to do. Let me follow after what you want me to do. And don't let me touch the glory. And don't let me be a part of that. And you're right. It's the Holy Spirit wants to lead us as Christ was led. Christ had time for the one-on-one. Actually, the Gospels have more accounts of one-on-one interactions with Jesus and somebody than it does of Jesus and a crowd. There's only actually a few times recorded that Jesus is standing before crowds, but most of his time was with just a couple of people, just
and
a few.
Children.
Yeah, even welcoming the kids. So just to let you know that if you want to be successful as a believer, you want to be successful in ministry, it's not really about the results. We can't be result-driven only. I mean, I understand there's definitely weights and gauges and measures, but at the end of the day, what makes us successful is, did we do what God told us to do? And if we did, even if it meant going to a cross, even if it meant looking up at an axe head coming down on us, even if it led to persecution and martyrdom, so be it. Still will I praise the Lord. Still will I honor his name. Still is he worthy. And may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. The Lamb's blood was not spilt in vain.
Right.
And come what may we all just follow after the leading of the Lord.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.